Hello and welcome to this week's Opening Bell. I'm Chris Dixon, editor of Boxing News, joined by Matt Christie as always. Matt, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well, doing well.
Okay, what's going on out in the office? What are you working on at the minute?
Well, trying to put the 100 greatest to bed. We've got the new website coming up.
Okay.
So it's exciting times at Boxing News at the moment.
You're talking about the 100 greatest there. What we're working on is the 100 greatest fights of all time. It follows on from last year's 100 greatest fighters of all time. Matt, do you think there'll be any surprises, pleasant or otherwise, in the rundown of fights?
It's going to vary from each reader to reader, isn't it? With everybody's got their own favourite fights, and I think it's more subjective than fighters. I can certainly take on board people's arguments when you're talking about favourite fighters, because you've got a roll call of achievements there to compare to other people. But with fights, it's really what gets you going, isn't it? It's really what you like in a fight. Some people look for certain things in a fight. Some people just want blood and guts. Some people want skill. So, and I think this 100 greatest fights really, really does. There's a mix in there, and hopefully it will appeal to the readers out there.
Yeah, that goes to the press tomorrow, and it should be available from our Boxing News shop in April. You can pre-order now to avoid paying for postage and packaging later on, and it will be on the newsstands from the middle of April in the UK, and available as an app, as a page-turning app to download through iTunes as well. So Matt, busy weekend this weekend. Last weekend we just had the slim pickings of Abraham Stieglitz, which we'll touch upon in due course. This weekend we've got Brandon Rios, Mike Alvarado. We'll talk about that. We've also got in Liverpool, we've got two cracking fights, Tony Bellew against Isaac Chalemba, and then we've got the rematch between Derry Matthews and Anthony Crawler. David Hayes going to announce his comeback this week, so then we'll have a look at some long odds and some bets for David Hay, and if we get time at the end, let's have a quick look at the fights at Monte Carlo this weekend between Gennady Golovkin, one of your personal favourites, and Nobuhiro Ishida, the man most known as the chap who slayed James Kirkland in a massive upset. So Matt, bad boy Brandon Rios against Mike Alvarado. Who's your money on and why? Last year, let's just give some context to this. They were involved in one of the fights of the year, tremendous scrap. So they're doing it again. I think it's partly come about because Rios was waiting in the wings for the winner of Pacquiao Marquez, in inverted commas, if it was Pacquiao. It wasn't, so now there's question marks over Pacquiao's next fight. So that means Rios has got to mark time by going over old ground. The best way to do that is to serve up another thriller. Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the first one, to kind of quote Bert Sugar, was rock'em sock'em robot stuff. Brilliant fight. I think perhaps it may have come too soon for Alvarado. You often see with fights of that nature that if they come, you know, within, you know, less than a year or so later, that mental scars and physical ones can play a part. And I've just got a feeling, and I may be wrong, and I am frequently wrong, that Brandon Rios will win this. It won't be such a tough fight. I think for as long as it lasts, it'll be thrilling stuff, but I think Rios will win it sooner than he did last time. I remember you saw this fight. I think you saw it live at the time, didn't you? You saw it live on TV. And I remember you raving about it. I mean, what are your memories of that first encounter?
Well, it was a real thrill ride. I think, you know, the more I look back on it, the more I realised that Rios was hurting Alvarado early. And although Alvarado was having real success, he didn't really put a dent in Rios. So I think along the lines of you, really, I think perhaps Alvarado might have got some scars. It was his first defeat. I think the psychological scars will still be there. And Rios, a real confidence fighter, a real on-top fighter, I think, you know, knowing that he's on the cusp of a really big fight with the likes of Pacquiao, Marquez, or Bradley, whoever he really wants, I think he wouldn't have left anything to chance for this fight. And I think he'll be buoyed by the knowledge that he can stop Mike Alvarado. He's been there, he's done it before. And I think that's why you see the odds price. You know, he's priced up as a 1-5 on favourite in most quarters, 1-4 with Ladbrokes. And Rios and Alvarado is a 7-2 underdog with Stan James. I mean, 7-2, 10-3, that sort of range. Do you think that's not doing him any, you know, not paying him the necessary compliments, or do you think that's just realistic?
I think it's realistic. I think if you go through history, fights like this, it's very rare that a fighter can, I think for Alvarado to triumph, he would need to do things differently, very, very differently. And whether he can, it's just so rare. I mean, for example, you know, the first one that comes to mind would be what Willie Pep did to Sandy Sadler. He went back in the rematch and he put on a boxing masterclass after he'd been convincingly stopped in the first encounter. But it's so rare for the loser of a bruising encounter to come back and win the return, particularly when they've been stopped.
Do you think it will be a shootout like the last one, violent and brutal and full of action?
Speaking selfishly, yeah, I hope so. Not sure how much punishment those two guys will want to take like that. I think they set their stalls out in the first fight, and I don't think they'll be changing it for the second one. I think if there is any kind of feeling out process or an effort to keep it at range, to keep it a little bit more calm and controlled, then I think that'll be out the window by the second round.
Now, it was decided in the seventh round last time. I think Rios really had it in the bag by round six and when he hurt Alvarado. I'd go for a fifth round stoppage this time. Where are you on this?
No, I was about to say, I'd say within five rounds. I think Alvarado will have gone into the first fight confident, and right up until you mentioned there the point where the fight really looked like it wasn't winnable for him, he would have thought that he could get the better of Rios. I think it was pretty early on in this fight when if he lands a few shots and there's no real effect on him, he'll realise a lot quicker that Rios isn't going to budge, and as a result I think he could be out of there a fair bit sooner than he was in the first encounter.
Okay. So also in Liverpool this weekend, Tony Bellew is fighting Isaac Chalemba, Derry Matthews fighting Anthony Crawler. What's the pick of those two fights? Which do you think is going to be the best fight?
You've got to... We've already had a wonderful example of how well Crawler and Matthews styles gel. So if you're a betting man, you'd have to say that the Crawler Matthews fight is almost guaranteed to deliver some thrills and spills. But Bellew, in a different way, Bellew and Chalembe is a fascinating contest of two guys at very, very similar levels on the world scene.
Okay, so let's start with Crawler Matthews, last year's fight of the year domestically for Boxing News. I mean, we touched upon it briefly last weekend, but Crawler has been priced as a favourite, although he lost last time. It's not usual that happens, is it? I mean, why do you think it is that the bookies have decided to price Crawler as the favourite, even though he didn't win the last time?
And the fact that he's fighting in Matthews' backyard as well is another huge advantage for Matthews. I think perhaps it's the wear and tear on Matthews, who's been nothing but a fantastic servant throughout his career, but you have to wonder how many more of these wars can he come through, and can he come through them on the winning side? Who's he lost to since? He's lost to Gavin Rees in quite a punishing fight since the Crawler victory. He had a mixed fortunes at prize fighter and a fairly nondescript win at the end of last year. I can see why Crawler's the favourite. I think because in a similar way to when you have, he was a huge favourite first time round, and if you look back, when somebody scores the upset win, you very often think it's a fluke. Therefore, like, for example, Sonny Liston, Muhammad Ali, the second fight, Sonny Liston was the favourite, even though he'd been beaten so convincingly in the first fight.
I think that might have been the same for Tyson Holyfield.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So I think that's why Crawler is the favourite. And he boxed so well until he got caught. Was it in the second or third round he got dropped? In the third, yeah, and he was boxing so well before that it looked like he was about to just walk through Matthews. So I think you can certainly see where the bookies are coming from.
There's an X factor with this one, and it is a sad one. In Crawler's last fight, he fought Kieran Farrell, who sustained terrible injuries and won't be able to fight again. How much will that play on Crawler's mind? I mean, that we've seen in the past when Chris Eubank hurt Michael Watson, that many have said that Eubank couldn't pull the trigger after that. You know, it's something that could really affect Crawler going into this fight, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think we'll know that until... I don't know if you'd be able to judge it on this contest or how much you'd be able to judge it. I mean, I think you mentioned Eubank. I think the same could be said with Nigel Benn after that hellacious battle with Gerald McClellan. That was... Benn was never really the same after that either. And he's got to leave some kind of mental scars. And Anthony Crolla, I mean, anybody that spoke to him on the phone, is, if you was to meet him in the street and you'd have a chat to him, you would not think he had it in him to have a fight in a boxing ring or anywhere else. He's such a lovely, selfless individual that you would think that somewhere beneath it's going to have some effect. But we just don't know. He's still young. We don't know. I don't know. But it's a really, really interesting point.
So let's look at some prices here. Crolla, the most popular money on Crolla is at 10 to 11. Matthews at 5 to 4 with the draw at 25 to 1. Now, I know we often joke about the draw, but 25 to 1 is tempting. But then you look at Crolla here. I'm looking through Odds Checker. You've got 8 to 3 with Bet365, 8 to 11 with Sky Bet, 8 to 11 with Paddy Power, and Matthews 6 to 5, 11 to 10. Evens in a couple of places. Not a lot of money to be made on the fight, so it's really a question of sit back and enjoy the ride, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think if you're going to have a bet on a fight like this, you need to be, and you expect to win big, you need to be putting on some big stakes in the first place, and you've got to be pretty sure of a winner to put on some huge stakes. And with this one, it's, you can't be sure of the outcome. You can have an opinion, but you certainly can't be sure.
Who would your cheeky fiver go on?
Well, I think if you're only putting on a cheeky fiver, you've always got to go for the draw. But I can't see this one, unless it was kind of be stopped early on a cut, went to the cards, and it ended up being a draw. I can't imagine this one going 12.
Who would you see? I mean, would you go for Crolla? Is that where your money is?
I would. If yes, yeah, I would go for Crolla. I think. That he can stop him. He can stop him late. I think he can. If he follows what he was doing in the first two rounds, doesn't get of the first fight, and doesn't get careless, I think he can win. And I think he can. There was quite a lot of momentum behind him before this encounter. He was being mentioned as, you know, one of the. He'd certainly turned his game around.
Talk of him fighting Ricky Burns, wasn't
there? Yeah, for the world title. Which perhaps now, well, not perhaps, it's certainly been proven to have been premature, but I think Crolla's still got a big future ahead of him. But we can't, but having said all this, I feel like I'm writing Derry Matthews off, and I've done that before, so I'm loath to do it again.
I think my money's on Derry, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think a couple of reasons. Well, one, if Derry's nose holds up, which we know he's had problems since the first fight with Gavin Rees, if his nose and cuts, I think cuts could be a factor for either fighter. But I think if Derry can get through it without leaking too much blood, I think he can win. I think he'll be buoyed by the home crowd. Always got a point to prove. He'll be the underdog in Liverpool, which he won't appreciate. And I do think the Kieran Farrell incident could be a factor for Crolla. I mean, Crolla's a student of the sport, really knows it inside out. And it's the sort of thing that can really shake someone up. And like you said, Crolla's a nice guy. And I don't think he's really going to be, you know, I think there's going to be some nagging thoughts in his head, I think, come Saturday night. And Matthews could be just the man to take advantage. So, but it shows how good a fight it is. I mean, it's hard to call, and you've picked Crolla and I've picked Matthews. So we'll see who's right next week, shall we?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. A main event in Liverpool. Tony Bellew is fighting in a WBC light heavyweight title eliminator with Isaac Chalemba. Chalemba, who we've seen a bit of recently via American TV, is coming over. Certainly a hungry guy. I mean, we've got a good feature in him by our South African correspondent Pete Muscardi in the magazine this week. A really good profile on Chalemba. If you don't know much about Chalemba, pick up the magazine, because it's pretty much got everything you need to know in there. I mean, what did you make of that? I mean, it was an interesting feature, wasn't it, Matt?
Yeah, I don't want to give too much away, but there's, it's very much I mean, there's so many interesting characters in boxing, but Chalemba has come through some really, really difficult circumstances in his life, not to mention a stomach-churning health issue that's mentioned in the feature, and he's come back from the brink, and he's proved himself to be on the outskirts, if not the lower regions of the world light heavyweight top 10. But yeah, no, cracking read, the feature on Chalemba.
So both of the what stands out reading both the preview and the Chalemba feature this week is how hungry these guys are. I mean, Chalemba seems to have had a really dramatic, almost terrible life, and he's saying he's hungry. And obviously Bellew has got a different kind of hunger, saying he wants to provide for his family and his kids. Very different types of hunger and ambition, but both really leap off the page. So obviously our cover line on the magazine this week is "It's Personal." And that's because it's so personal to both these two fighters. There's so much riding on it. So who wants it more?
I mean, Chilembe has said that, you know, Bell, you can't compare to him in terms of the amount of desire, but anybody that is, you know, knows Bomber or has spoke to him or has seen him fight, seen him in the gym, will know how much this means to him as well. Who wants it more? It's an impossible question to answer.
Okay, a question that is possible to answer is who's your money on? I mean, Bellew is a favourite, probably because he's got some momentum going into this fight. Notched a couple of wins since losing to Nathan Cleverley, who we know is a world-class light heavyweight. And it's in Liverpool, Bellew's backyard. So Bellew priced at 1-3 on, 4-11. With Sky Bet, 1-3 with Bet365, 4-9 on with Paddy Power. Not a lot going for him if you want to make some serious money. But Chilembe, 9-4 with Bet365, 11-5 with Sky Bet, 9-4 with William Hill. Some good prices there on Chilembe. Someone who is dangerous and someone who's climbed off the canvas to win before. Tempted by Chilembe?
Yeah, certainly. I think. I mean, I haven't seen too many of Chilembe's fights. What I have seen, he does a lot of things well, and he has certainly got the will to win, which in an encounter with Tony Bellew, you need that. I won't be laying any money on him. I'd think it would be an upset if he was to win, but it wouldn't be a huge upset. It wouldn't be the first time that somebody relatively unknown but certainly capable has come over to British shores and beaten the hometown hero. I think Bellew will be well aware of that factor in this contest. I think the Nathan Cleverley fight almost came out the blue for him, whereas now you really sense that he's really working his way up and he can touch that world title. I'd be surprised if he was to let it go, but it may be out of his hands if Chilembe produces, you know, the performance of a lifetime.
Chilembe's only scored 9 stoppages in his 20 wins. But he's a slashing puncher. He cut open Edison Miranda. Bellew was cut terribly in his last fight against the Italian Belonti. I mean, there's a question whether that eye will ever be the same again, because that cut was so horrendous on the Carl Froch Youssef Mack bill. So that's one of the questions I have going into this fight. Another one is about Bellew's power. I mean, in the amateurs, he was knocking his opponents out. And there was a lot of momentum about Bellew and a lot of people singing his praises. In the pros, although he scored 12 stoppages from 19 wins, there have been question marks about how hard he's hitting, don't you think? And maybe I'm wrong, but he has suffered from bad hands in the past as well. So I think there's a lot to factor into this fight. We've spoken to Chilembe's former trainer, Colin Nathan, recently, who said that Chilembe's got fast hands, but he isn't necessarily the biggest hitter. I mean, it's an intriguing match, isn't it, in terms of, you know, is Bellew going to have the firepower to stop someone who hasn't been stopped before? Will his skin hold up? Will Chilembe's fast hands make any difference in terms of how the fight plays out? And, of course, will home advantage help Bellew, who we know gets incredibly fired up and frenzied before his fights? There's a lot to factor in. So with all that in mind, Matt, fiver on the draw?
Cheeky fiver. Cheeky fiver. Yeah, I think it's worth mentioning as well that Bellew, he's learned how to win, and I know that might sound odd, but he's not concerned if he goes in there and puts on a show. He's going to win. He wants to win, and if he has to do that, like he did in the rematch with McKenzie, like he did the first fight was a barnstorm where he nearly got his head taken off in the second round. But he came back and he just boxed to a plan in the second fight, and he boxed immaculately. It wasn't thrilling stuff, but he did it. And to an extent, he did it in his last contest as well. So perhaps we'll see Bellew adopt those kind of tactics. Maybe it won't be a thriller. Maybe it will. We don't know. But it's going to be worth watching to see how this one pans out.
Okay. And then also, we'll just cover briefly the fight in Monte Carlo this week. There's a decent build. There's a couple of semi-finals before a final in a tournament over there. Sergey Rybchenko, Ricky Hatton's European light middleweight champions in action. I was up there watching Rebchenko training last weekend. He seems to be ready to go. He was almost on the weight a week ahead. But the main event is Gennady Golovkin, who gets the chance to showcase his skills in Monte Carlo, following in the footsteps of great middleweights like Carlos Monzon and Marvin Hagler. I mean, they're big shoes to fill, though, aren't they, middleweight? Can he do it?
Well, I certainly don't think he can do it as yet. I think if you know, he's going to have to look back on a long career before he can even begin to try and get into those shoes. But he's going along the right. The way his career is progressing so far, you sense that there is a big future. But you say he's 30 years old, which, okay, you know, 30 isn't as old as it used to be in the world of boxing. But at the same time, I'd like to see him, I think, as I mentioned last week, against the likes of Sergio Martinez, rather than Ishida, who has got this fight. I think he's still riding that wave that was caused with that win over James Kirkland.
In 2011, yeah. Only one win since, two losses.
Yeah, I think this has got Golovkin victory, straightforward victory at that.
What price would you have Ishida as an underdog? This would be interesting. There's a selection here.
7-1?
Well, it's quite incredible, really. Although not really, I mean, it speaks volumes about the match, but most prices are 14-1. You've got Betfred, you've got Sporting Bet, you've got Bet Victor and Paddy Power. They've priced Ishida at 14-1. There's a couple of narrow, Stan James 10-1, Ladbrokes 12s, B-Win 11-1. But then Pinnacle have Ishida at 24-1. I mean, what do you say to that? I mean, is it worth putting anything on? I mean, he had a puncher's chance against Kirkland, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. I think that perhaps was more to do with Kirkland's frailties than the potency of Ishida. But yeah, I mean, at this level, and you've got a few quid, and somebody's 24-1 in a 2-horse race. Every now and again, they come up. So yeah, if you've got it and you're not going to lose it, and it's not going to affect you to lose it, then why not? I mean,
it's a law of averages thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a law of averages.
Yeah, of course it is. Please let me make it clear that I don't think Ishida is going to win this by any means. But you know, you spend enough time in boxing, you spend enough time following boxing. It's never, very rarely is a result a huge, huge shock.
Yeah. But this certainly would be. I mean, Golovkin's the one on fire. Golovkin's the one where everyone's talking about him fighting Macklin later this year, or Sergio Martinez. They want Golovkin in the big fights. They've even talked about Mayweather. I mean, they're looking at big, big fights. And Ishida, who's 37 years old, he's lost his last two. He's very fortunate to even be getting the title try in the first place. Mm. I mean, I think you'd still be crazy to put money on at 24-1 like you, to be honest, Matt. I just can't see it happening. But these things happen. And last weekend, there was a slight shock, wasn't there, when Arthur Abraham, his left eye swollen, slammed shut, couldn't carry on, lost his title to Robert Stieglitz in a rematch. That was unexpected. So, I mean, these things happen. But what was your take on the Stieglitz fight? I mean, basically, the way I saw it is that Abraham's a slow starter at the best of times, and Stieglitz finally cottoned onto that and just jumped on him.
Yeah, absolutely. It was like somebody had told him that if he didn't get Abraham out of there within four rounds, somebody was going to come and kill him. It was an astonishing display. And he must surely have been risky attacking Abraham like that. And yeah, like you said, not necessarily that he was going to get caught on the counter during those early rounds, but that he would run out of gas. And he would struggle late on. But as it turned out, the eye was swollen shut, and he didn't need to. But you have to... I've got utmost admiration for Robert Stieglitz, what he did and the way he went about it.
If they were to fight again, would you make Stieglitz a favourite?
You'd have to make Stieglitz a favourite, but would Abraham suffer an injury like that? It's a freakish injury. I don't know. I wouldn't write Abraham off on just that, but he's certainly a shadow of what he used to be. And I wasn't so convinced when we spoke last week that he was... you know, heading towards that rapidly at the end of his career, but from that evidence, you'd have to suggest that he is.
Yeah, sure. Now, obviously, we do talk about some different things in this podcast, although we stay away from the politics. We have enough in our day-to-day jobs with dealing with the promotional wrangles here, there, and everywhere. But this week, David Haye's going to announce his comeback. Now, I've got some early prices for you, Matt. about how successful his comeback could be. I mean, there's no opponents mentioned yet, no names really doing the rounds as such. You could see him perhaps fighting someone like Tony Thompson, you know, a veteran American, to try and maybe get the US market a bit more interested in him moving further forwards. Obviously, he's got his ties with Golden Boy. It's going to be interesting to see about TV networks, which way he goes and all the rest of it. But leaving the politics out of it, I've just got a press release in from Lab Brooks, who've priced him up for 3 fights. And the first one, which, I mean, I mentioned on Twitter a long time ago as something that I thought would be feasible for a football stadium this summer, would be him against Tyson Fury. And obviously that makes sense on a lot of different levels. Firstly, is, you know, it's a very sellable fight, very marketable. Secondly, I think David's talking about working his way into a mandatory position. I think a win over Fury would do that with the WBC, so it would put him in a very strong position for that Vitaly Klitschko fight. So, hey, Fury, price it up for me.
You'd have to have Hay as the favourite on what he's achieved. He's got a lot of detractors in that, saying he hasn't really achieved that much at heavyweight, but if we're honest, he has. He's achieved a lot more than most, certainly achieved more than Tyson Fury, and that's not a knock on Tyson Fury. I would say, hey, narrow favourite, maybe, I don't know, 6-4.
He's 2-5 on with Ladbrokes, so what would you have Fury then as the underdog? He's 2-5 on, David. So Fury as the underdog would be...
I don't know, 3-1, something like that?
He's 2-1 with Ladbrokes with the draw at 20-1, but for me, that's a fight that just never looks like going the distance. And I think it would be a really good, entertaining fight. I really do. I think, you know, although their dimensions and dynamics and personalities are so different, I think they just create an absolute thrilling fight. I really do. I think that David would try and be fast out of the blocks, and I think Fury would be trying to march him down, use his height and weight and reach and everything else. I think that really makes for an explosive encounter. Or do you agree, or do you think we'd see the cautious Hay again?
Yeah, well, that was what I was about to say. I think, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how Hay would approach it. I don't know if he'd have as much respect for Tyson Fury as he had for Nikolai Valuev and Vladimir Klitschko, where he did fight a different fight. He did try to keep out of harm's way while also outboxing, which worked against Valuev, not so much against Klitschko. I don't know. Would he have that much respect for Tyson Fury, do you think?
I don't think so, and I think the thing is as well, if David really wants to force Vitaly into a fight, he needs to get people talking about him, and he's not going to do that by boring them senseless. You know, David's still lost a lot of momentum despite the Chisora fight last year. He lost a lot of momentum from the Klitschko fight and the Audley Harrison fight beforehand. We all know what implications that's had for Sky box office and how many people turned off as a result of those two drab encounters, and I don't think David's coming back in a position to just try and fence his way to a heavyweight title. I think he'd be out there to try and make a statement, and I think Fury is I know we've seen a different side of Fury, who's boxed a little bit more, and obviously he turned southpaw against Martin Rogan, and he outboxed Kevin Johnson using his dynamics and his left jab and using his physical attributes. But I think Hayes is a guy that would be so quick closing the distance on him, he'd have to try and make a statement, and I think Hay would be fast to try and get inside, and I think it could just be really explosive, and I think, you know, there's all the ingredients there for a really big fight. So priced up, we'll just skim over this one because I'm not sure I could ever see it happening, but priced up, David's a big favourite over David Price, 2-7 on according to Ladbrokes, with Price an 11-4 underdog. Obviously, we know that David Price has got damaging power with his right hand and left hook and even to the body. So, obviously, Ladbrokes given him a real puncher's chance against Hay, although Hay is rightly so, in my eyes, the favourite. Interesting fight that they've priced up here, though, and that's against WBA champion. So, it would be for Hay's old title. And it's they've given prices for him against Alexander Povetkin. So who would you make for the favourite and why?
I'd make David Hay a favourite. Povetkin hasn't looked good for a while. He showed flashes of it a few years ago. But no, he to me, I think there's a chance that Hay could walk right through Alexander Povetkin. I'd make David Hay a pretty healthy favourite if I was a bookmaker there.
Well, that's a bold statement, bearing in mind Povetkin's got a title. Probably wouldn't take place over here in the UK, I wouldn't have thought. But in a way, you're also right, though, because the bookies, or Ladbrokes in this case, have Povetkin a 3-1 underdog, which is significant, considering that Povetkin's been comparatively active and Hayes been on the shelf and been doing reality TV shows and what have you.
Yeah, I mean, Povetkin, I mean, it's hard to get recent, you know, the fight against, was it Marco Huck? He was really struggled with, and Huck, whether that was kind of the last throes of Huck's career at the top level, we don't know, but he certainly looked like he's damaged good since. Povetkin hasn't really impressed me for a number of, I was over there when he fought Cedric Boswell, I thought he looked good then, but I mean, Boswell isn't and wasn't elite. Other than that, I think Povetkin has struggled, and I think he was perhaps at his peak even five years ago when he was fighting the likes of Eddie Chambers when he was on the way up. So now he's approaching his mid-30s. I think he's ripe for the taking with for Hay or even Tyson Fury or anybody, to be honest with you. Not anybody, but you know what I'm saying.
Any of the decent guys.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Matt. Well, that will do us for this week. Next week, we'll be looking ahead to some fights that are coming up through April. We'll be looking at Nonito Donaire against Guillermo Rogondo. We'll be looking ahead to Cleverly Krasniqi. We'll also do a bit on Tyson Fury, Sal Alvarez and Austin Trout. And we'll have a quick look at Amir Khan's fight and the early prices for that. So, in the meantime, thank you very much for listening. Enjoy your Easter. And that's all from Matt and I. Until next week.